Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
The Mothers Union, Cubs, Beavers, Scouts, Fun Club, Guides, Brownies, Parish Prayer, Rainbows, Trefoil, Alpha, Coffee and Cake. So much of what we do as a church is outside of these services. Then there's baptisms, weddings, funerals, Bedhampton Nursing Home, The Lodge, Bibury Junior, Bibury Infants, Barncroft, the Summer Show. So much of what we know as a church is not on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Then mini multiples, baby sensory, Slimming World, Woodturners, WI, Dancing, Art Society, Pilates. So much of the community that we enable as a church is outside of a formal service. And I'm sure I've missed out your favourite part of what we do as a church here. And I'm sure I've missed out many things. Because we don't see it all, do we? Even if we're involved in one or two of those things, we don't see God's kingdom coming in the whole of it. And I want you to hold on to that. Because it's important to know that God's kingdom is coming and coming outside as well of a Sunday service. And you can't count that in numbers, can you? You can't count the impact of all that goes on in numbers. But I want you to hold on to that because numbers are also important. And I want to share with you some numbers. In 2017, do you remember those good old days before you knew you were going to get me? Before I turned up? 2017, before you had me as a rector, on average in our weekly services across our two venues, and it was split pretty evenly across our two venues, on average, including the 8 a.m. as it was, the 11 a.m. as it was, and the 9:30 a.m. as this service was, on average, across our traditions, there were 63 people who would attend a service and be committed to Jesus, or seem to be committed to Jesus, because they would turn up most weeks. That doesn't include Christmas or Easter, where obviously numbers would be much bigger than that. It doesn't include when we would have baptisms or thanksgivings, where our numbers would swell. It just includes those who would say that Jesus was their Lord and were committed to him. On average, in 2017, before I came along, you were doing well with 63 people. Then in 2018, when I arrived halfway through the year, but nothing to do with me because you were already cracking on, that grew, actually. In 2018, that grew to 69. So just a gentle growth to 69, but it grew. In 2019, that was the beginning of quite a period of time where actually we began to lose people who were older to death. And we lost, I mean, immediately people's come to mind, don't they, as I say that. But nevertheless, in 2019, on average, there were 71, so it grew slightly, 71 people committed to a service either on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Then in 2020, something happened. Can't quite put my finger on what that was. Of course, on the 31st of January 2020, the first two cases of coronavirus in the UK were confirmed. And by the 23rd of March, coincidentally Susie's birthday, but I believe nothing to do with this, we were in lockdown. And so it's probably not fair to reflect on 2020 or 2021 in terms of numbers, because we really don't have a clue, actually. And in reality, any organisation, and certainly any church that got through that period of time and enabled God's mission, which I think believe we did, won for those 2 years. So where are we in 2022? Well, my friends, so far this year, with 3 years to go, on average, across our services, there are 63 people committed to coming to our services. Why? Why are we back to where we were in 2017. There'd be a number of reasons for that. As I said, we've lost a few. We are, by my count, we've lost 10 people to death. I'm sure there are others I perhaps haven't remembered. A couple of others have moved away. Of course, COVID has had an impact. But in truth, actually, my observation is that whilst there are one or two that have drifted off, in general, there aren't many people who didn't come, who were coming before, who aren't still coming on a Sunday. And it's my observation, and this seems to be a general observation with other leaders of the church throughout the country, that people are still coming, but less often. Less often than they were before COVID. So what does that mean to us? Well, actually, we could be quite smug. We could say, actually, we've got the same numbers that we had 5 years ago. And that, in this country currently, would be quite unusual. So we could be quite smug about that and say we're a close-knit group about that. And it's actually, you know, it could be a lot worse. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that in that I don't want to lead a church where it could be a lot worse. I have a problem with that in that my God, Jesus that I follow, is not a God of the, well, it's better, you know, it's better than it could be. He's not a God of settle and fall. That's not the Jesus I know. In fact, we read, didn't we? He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the head of the body of this church. Not me, not the bishop, Jesus. Mike and I were joking about that earlier on, weren't we? Jesus, within whom dwells the entirety of God. We just heard that wonderful passage read, reminding us that Jesus is creator of the universe. He is God. I know we get confused sometimes. I think he's just a nice guy. He's not. He is God. And he doesn't count his impact on God's kingdom in ones and twos. And he doesn't count his impact on God's kingdom coming in the it could be worse. That's not the Jesus I follow, and it's not the church that I want to lead. Jesus, there is no one above Jesus. There is nothing more important that we do than share the love of Jesus. We share it through all sorts of ways, through all those groups I talked about. We share it one-on-one. We share it as we worship. But there is nothing more important that we do than worship Jesus. And yet somehow, and I raised my hand up when that man there was my vicar, I did the same. We say, those with dog collars round their neck, they can bring God's kingdom. They can enable the growth of the church. I will support them and then just get by in my life because that's hard enough. How's it going? How's that working out? Let me answer my own question. It doesn't matter if your name is Norman Smith, Kelvin Randall, Ian Coomer, Derek Little, John Risdon, David Proud, or even Max Cross. God didn't send those with dog collars around their necks to grow his kingdom on their own. Before I had this, he had already sent me to share the love of God and to grow his kingdom as he sends you. He wants to see his kingdom come. Jesus prayed for it, didn't he? I've revealed you to those whom you gave me. Talking of his disciples, but talking of us as well. He's revealed the Father to us. They were yours. You gave them to me, Jesus says, and they've obeyed your word. I hope we obey his word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Everything that Jesus is also in the Father. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Have we accepted the words that Jesus gave us? Because if we have, the next bit's important. because he's speaking to people like you and me. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, not that they become a holy huddle. Then he prays for protection, because if we're going to do what we're going to do, we're going to need protection. He says, they're not of the world, even as he wasn't of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify them. Make them more like me, Jesus is saying. Make them more like you, Father. Make them more like the Spirit. And he says this, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I'm not sending them to be a holy club on a Sunday or a Wednesday. I'm sending them into the world. Jesus never sent professionals with dog collars around their neck. He sent all of us. And that's why we're looking at this fruitfulness. Because friends, I really believe that we're standing, I've said this before, I think these next 18 months are vital. We're standing on the edge of an opportunity. We're standing in the fork in the road. Do we go that way? Do we risk everything and see God's kingdom come? Or do we just pot along as we are? I think we've gone through too much pain to take the left fork. It's been a lot of pain, isn't there, over the last few years? In truth, if you've been here for more than 4 years, you've had a lot of pain for a long time. I recognise that. But in the last 4 years, we've gone through COVID, come out the other side-ish. At the moment, we're hoping we're coming out the other side, aren't we? But we've done well to do this as a church. Let's be real, you've gone through the pain of change, initiated by the leadership team here. But I think it's brought us to a point where we can take the right fork. We can step out if we follow Jesus. The favour in our community right now is the best I've seen it in the 4 years that I've been here. I'm told by those who've been here longer, it's the best it's been for many, many years. They are actually for us, not against us out there. You don't see it all the time because I get the privilege of talking to way more people out there. They love this church. They don't understand it all. They need to know more of God's love and why we do what we do. But they like Bedhampton Church, Bedhampton Parish. We've got great favour in our community. Since we've dedicated what we've dedicated in prayer and our commitment to young people and families and to Bedhampton, it's being recognised out there. Which is why over the next 4 months, as we go through harvest and remembrance into Advent and Christmas and into the new year, we're going to sprinkle this teaching about fruitfulness on the front line amongst what we're doing. There's going to be six bits of teaching on fruitfulness, what it means to be a church who is fruitful on the front line, what it means to be an individual on your front. Those discussions you were having earlier on, whether it's with the grandchildren, whether it's bumping into people at the allotment, whether it's working, that is your front line. And we're going to discover actually what it means just by being there as a follower of Jesus. Not that you need to walk in and, you know, with a big banner above your head every day, but what it means to be fruitful. We're going to discover more about that.
Through this series, we're going to explore six expressions of fruitfulness, six ways in which we might express our love for God in our daily lives on the front line. So, taking Peter the litter picker as our example, well, Peter modelled godly character, being obedient to God, being joyful and faithful in the task. So we ask ourselves, how might I exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control on my front line. On my front line with that hugely irritating, noisy neighbour, that galactically incompetent boss, or that vein-burstingly irritating child. Well, Peter also did good work. He cleaned up the park. Making good work to the glory of God, that's also being fruitful. And we all have tasks to do, whether we're paid for doing them or we aren't paid for doing them. dishes to wash, shirts to iron, shelves to stack, deals to do, people to serve, streets to make cleaner, and they're all important to God. What difference might it make if we committed our daily tasks to Him, asked Him for help, consciously did them for His glory? Peter ministered grace and love, reaching out to strangers to bless them. That's fruit. And there are lots of ways to express grace and love. It could be forgiving someone who insulted you, or giving someone a wise piece of advice, looking out for a colleague, caring about the checkout person, just acting with selfless love. And when you contribute to moulding culture for the better, that's being fruitful. Changing the way things are done in your family or in your sports team or in your office so that they better reflect God's ways, His kingdom culture, just as Peter changed the culture of the walking community in the park and lifted the spirits of at least one white van man. And there's being a mouthpiece of truth and justice, courageously sticking up for someone with the local council or at work or in the classroom. Justice is something God wants done. And yes, being a messenger of the gospel. Peter told others about why he does what he does, told people about his own relationship with Jesus and invited them to find out more. So we too, we look out for opportunities to communicate the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus, or to bring a biblical perspective to the conversation, or to just tell others the difference Jesus has made, is making in our ordinary life. And all these M's, well, they work together. Godly character creates better soil for godly testimony. Working hard to make other people's lives better confirms that the gospel is about joy in this life as well as joy in the next. Serving others selflessly makes the message of a selfless servant king much more compelling. Taking a risk to stand up against injustice makes the claim that God cares about injustice much more persuasive. Our lives in Christ reinforce our words about Christ, and our words help others to see that it is Jesus who has transformed our lives, and it is Jesus who can transform theirs. Well, you may have noticed that that comes to six M's. M and M and M and M and M and M. Of course, these kinds of models can become oppressive. Now, I don't just get to feel guilty about evangelism and my woeful failure to crowbar a gospel presentation into a casual conversation about the weather. Now, I've got to be a 6M disciple. Oh, Lord, no, no. These M's aren't another set of holy to-dos to add to your already too long a list of boxes to tick. These are lenses to help us spot how God might already have worked in us. And they're snapshots of what kingdom living might look like. Snapshots to help us see what God might do in and through us on our front lines. They're there to spark our imagination and spur our prayers. What has God been doing in and through you? Probably more than you think. What might God do in and through you? Probably more than you can imagine. So we seek God's face to help us see the way forward. We run to Him and we offer ourselves wholly. Lord, work through me, Lord, moment by moment. None of this can I do without you. None of this will bear fruit without you. So the Lord be with you in it all, whatever you do, wherever your front line.
So there you go, my friends. We're going to be journeying through these ends over the next few months. We're going to do a little block now leading up to Christmas and around harvest and remembrance, but also coming back to it and finishing off in the new year. And normally you would do this type of sort of reflection in a block, but actually, because of the time of year we're in, that wasn't possible. But on my reflection, I think that's going to give us time to journey through it. And so I'm quite happy that we're going to take a 3 or 4 months to do this. But we're going to be looking at, as he said, modelling godly character, making good work, moulding culture, being a mouthpiece of truth and justice, and a messenger of the gospel. And I think, as I've said my friends already, this is a good point for us to be doing this. We're at that fork in the road. And I don't believe that any of us here want this church to survive just long enough until we die. I don't believe that's what we want. But what I know of you, I don't believe that's what we want. Actually, I believe that you do truly want to see God's kingdom come in Bedhampton, to see those that you love, your family, but also your neighbours, know God's love and friendship. And so I'm asking you for a commitment. I'm asking you to commit and be open and not cynical about the possibility of this, but actually to be open and also to commit to be here. As I said, we're going to do this over October, November, December, January. And as we journey through, we'll be coming back to it, you know, as we come through the various other services. So friends, I'm asking you to make a point of being here. Actually being here both during those times and other times as we reflect on it together. To make a point of trusting in Jesus that we say we love. Remember him? He is the firstborn over all creation. The one in whom all things were created. I'm asking you to commit to actually believing that he wants to see his kingdom come here in Bedhampton. And I'm asking you to commit to a full life, life to the full, 168 hours a week to Jesus.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.